Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loren. Today we'll open up the phone lines and talk about the issues in the news that you want to talk about. And we'll be opening up the phone lines really quickly on this program today. So call us up if you've got something on your mind. There's a lot of issues out there, of course, and I'll bring up some of them after we hear three listener comments from yesterday's show. Here's what three listeners had to say after we ended the show yesterday.
Port Richie, they're talking about people that might want to lay out and draw their unemployment checks. The main reason I think is because of the virus. They want some of them might want to lay out and draw a check because of the virus, not because they just want to draw checks and be lazy. Maybe 10% or 50% because of the virus.
This is Jim from Spring Hill. I had emailed you about my problem being a 1099 employee and not be able to get the stimulus money we're supposed to be able to get from the federal government. I've tried twice applying for it here on the Florida unemployment site, and there's nowhere to put in your 1099 information or anything. They just deny it, saying you don't have any income in Florida. I was just wondering if you could ask your listeners if anybody else has actually received this benefit here in the state. Thank you.
This is Dave in Tampa. I'm calling to comment on Rick Scott's op-ed for Fox News, where he decried the federal government's response to the coronavirus pandemic, implying that millions of laid-off workers would rather sit around at home than go back to work. You know, the word hypocrite hardly captures the depth of Rick Scott's corruption. Let's remember, as CEO of Columbia HCA, this guy presided over the largest Medicare fraud in American history. That company paid $870 million in fines, and that some of that was criminal, not civil, criminal. For him to criticize people on unemployment, he just simply has no standing. And not only that, but he's really the ultimate example of fraud at public expense. He's the problem, not the people on unemployment who are trying to get by. He's the problem.
I'm calling regarding your caller from today. His name was Ray. And the unemployment and how it's more likely that people will stay home. But I believe that if you're furloughed or if you're laid off and then you get called back to work, if you do not come back to work, you lose your unemployment benefits. I may be incorrect. I know it's that way in other states. I don't know how it works in Florida, but maybe some of our listeners might have an idea.
Well, there you have some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're going to open up the phone lines pretty early today and take your phone calls. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. I think later on in the program, we'll hear a little bit of that new Bob Dylan song that came out today. So stick around for that if you're a Dylan fan. Of course, the bad news is that the nation's unemployment rate rose to 14.7%, according to new numbers from the Labor Department.
2 months after hitting a 50-year low, the jobless rate is now 14.7%. The government says some 20.5 million jobs simply disappeared in April, 1 month nearly wiping out 11 years of job growth, with the nation all but shut down.
It's fully expected. There's no surprise.
President Trump telling Fox and Friends it's not his fault the economy had to close, and when it reopens,
those jobs will all be back, and they'll be back very soon.
But few economists expect a fast turnaround. The Congressional Budget Office predicts the jobless rate will still be near 10% by the end of next year. For now, the damage may be worse than it seems. Just 51% of working-age Americans have jobs, the lowest number on record. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Yeah, some really bad news there. The numbers for Florida came out yesterday, and it turns out that over the last 3 weeks, 1.1 million Floridians have applied for unemployment, and only 481,000, less than half, have actually received the benefits. A lot of people still haven't been able to sign up, as we heard from one of those callers at the top of the show. So that's a problem. The In the U.S. Senate, Senators Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Ed Markey today introduced the Monthly Economic Crisis Support Act. That's legislation that calls for a monthly $2,000 check to those struggling to make ends meet during the COVID-19 pandemic. As rent comes due and bills continue to pile up, their press release says Americans desperately need assistance to financially survive the crisis. So that bill has been suggested in the U.S. Senate. And eight elderly World War II veterans will join President Trump today at a wreath-laying ceremony to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the end of the war in Europe. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, White House officials described the veterans as choosing nation over self by joining Trump at the World War II memorial ceremony. The veterans are elderly. They range in age from mid-90s to 100. They joined the president 2 days after the president's valet was confirmed to test positive for the COVID-19 virus. The former Senate staffer who alleged that Joe Biden sexually assaulted her 27 years ago is being represented by a prominent lawyer and political donor to President Trump's 2016 Republican campaign. That person is Douglas Wigdor. He tells the Associated Press he's not currently paid for his work with Tara Reid. His law firm also denies there is a political motivation for his decision to represent Reid in her accusations against Trump's presumptive Democratic opponent in the November election. Reid has accused Biden of sexually assaulting her in 1993 when she worked on his Senate staff. Biden has denied it. Joe Biden was on the virtual campaign trail yesterday, appearing online in events in Tampa and Jacksonville from his home in Delaware. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee held a virtual roundtable with African-American leaders in Jacksonville and held a Tampa rally online yesterday. The Tampa event was marred by audio dropouts and numerous technical problems with the video. President Trump voiced uncertainty earlier today over the future of his FBI director, Christopher Wray, a day after the Justice Department moved to throw out the guilty plea of the president's former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn. The president's comments came in a phone interview on the Fox News network, highlighting the ongoing distrust between the White House and some senior law enforcement officials in the wake of the nearly two-year investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And the University of Hong Kong has issued research that says that one of the most important routes for the coronavirus to enter the human body is through the eye. Through the eye, it's up to 100 times more infectious when the SARS-CoV-2 or the COVID-19 virus touches your eyes, it's very likely or pretty likely that it's going to get in. So that's one of the ways that the coronavirus gets in the body, according to brand new research from the University of Hong Kong. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. We heard Benjamin Crump on the on Democracy Now! Earlier today talk about the arrest of the two white men for killing the black man in southeastern Georgia. And there's been another series of police killings, or another, there's been a series of police killings in Indianapolis. And we're going to listen to a report from the Associated Press about that. This is what's happened in the last few days in Indianapolis. Two black men were killed by police. There is no apparent video of the killings because the police were not equipped with cameras. We're going to hear a report, if I can pull it up, from the Associated Press. There was a big protest yesterday. And then there was also a white woman who was killed by police. We'll hear a report from the Associated Press right now.
Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department Deputy Chief Kendall Adams was traveling northbound on Interstate 65 at West 30th Street when he observed a vehicle described as a gray Toyota with four doors driving recklessly. Initial information indicates that the officer deployed his taser, which appeared to be ineffective, and an exchange of gunfire between the officer and the suspect followed. The suspect, the driver of the vehicle, was struck by the gunfire. No officer was hurt in the exchange. The driver involved in this case was pronounced deceased on the scene.
We're also aware of inappropriate comments made by an IMPD detective that was broadcast live on social media during the incident. This comment was made by a detective who was not present at the time of the shooting, but responded to the scene following the shooting. Let me be clear. These comments are unacceptable and unbecoming of our police department. I hope you understand that I'm one that is willing to acknowledge if we made mistakes here, we will address them. But let's let the investigation run its course before we jump to conclusions.
We had never anticipated having body cameras fully implemented on our agency prior to mid or late summer. Anyway, we're a little bit slowed down because of what's going on with the pandemic. Things have just slowed down in all of city government.
All right, so the last two voices we heard there were members of the police department of Indianapolis describing some of the incidents that have happened there in the last few days. Let's see if we can find a better report. We're going to go to the CBS affiliate in Indianapolis to see if they can better describe what's been going on in Indianapolis, where two more young black men were killed by police. And let's see if we can bring this up here. Maybe not.
Staying on top of breaking news this afternoon, two men killed in two separate officer-involved shootings involving IMPD. One of the shootings was streamed on Facebook Live, and right now protesters are gathering outside the city county building in response to the death of Drajon Reed. This man right here, that's where we find CBS4's Darius Johnson. Darius, what are you seeing behind you?
Yes, well, Angela, if you can easily take a look behind me, you can see that there is obviously a crowd here. The crowd is growing bigger by the minute, and we've been talking to some of the people who are here, and understandably, many of them are upset. At this time, I want to bring in Rose Maxey. She's actually a protester who's been here since, they started around 12 o'clock, and her sign reads, "We speak peace, but we want justice." Rose, if you can just talk to me, why did you come out here this afternoon?
Well, first of all, I came out here to support a young man that was gunned down in our city last night. Running from gunshots, shot by an IMPD police officer, and I just feel we need to get some type of justice. This has been going on for too long, and we need to get some justice for this man that was killed and gunned down. And if we don't stand for anything, we will fall for everything. So I'm coming out here to make a stand. As you see, this is a peaceful protest. No one's upset. No one's yelling or cussing. They've been very, very peaceful, and hopefully they will continue to be that way. But we want justice. We are sick and tired of having this problem every other year. So we want to change.
Thank you so much, Rose. I really appreciate it. And we will continue to talk to many of those people who are out here and continue to bring you all the very latest in this protest that's happening at the City County Building. For now, we are live this afternoon. Darius Johnson, CBS4 News.
All right, Darius, and any updates we get on any of those officer-involved shootings, we will post those on CBS4Indy.com.
All right, so you can see the more coverage on the CBS Indianapolis TV station's website about the two police shootings of young black men and the white woman who was run over by a police car. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. This interesting story, too. The band Portugal the Man is from Wasilla, Alaska. And they've taken a stand after hearing news that an Alaskan school board voted to remove some classic books from high school classes. The Matanuska Sestina Borough School Board in Alaska voted to remove five classic books from the district's curriculum on April 22nd. The books, which were deemed controversial, included The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison, Catch-22 by Joseph Heller, The Things They Carried by Tim O'Brien, and Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Band members in Portugal the Man, who are from that Alaska town, Wasilla, a city within the borough, called the decision narrow-minded and unpatriotic on their Facebook page, and they offered up a solution. Any student or parent who wants copies of the books recently removed can email the band, and they'll send them the books for free. All right, let's take some phone calls, see what's on your mind, and see what you're concerned about. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to John in Hudson. John, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Rob, I have a question for you. Do you know who Dr. Judy Mikovits is, by any chance?
I've watched the video, this is a woman who thinks that Anthony Fauci is part of the deep state and has covered up research that she has that shows that the coronavirus is not really what we're being told by the federal government. I watched the video. I had two reactions to the video. One is I wasn't sure who produced the video. Two is I can't find much about her anywhere except on Wikipedia. And beyond that, I haven't done enough research, so I don't know whether I trust her, and I certainly don't trust the video because the makers of the video are not named in the video.
I was just curious, like I said, what your reaction was, because I've seen it multiple times. I've seen it twice, actually, but I noticed YouTube keeps deleting it, saying it violates their community standards. Yet I've seen some parodies on YouTube that are somewhat vulgar. I mean, I find them funny. But to me, it doesn't make sense that, you know, they'll put vulgar stuff out there, and here is someone trying to speak what she believes is the truth. And I believe half, none of what you hear and half of what you see. And I don't know, some of it just seems to have too much of a grain of truth to it because, you know, somebody...
Now, how would you judge that? I saw the video, too, and I was completely unsure how to judge that. We have a woman talking in front of a camera, saying things, and that's it. That's all we've got. A woman talking in front of a camera saying that Anthony Fauci essentially is a liar. How do you judge? I mean, just because somebody says something, I mean, I have people say things all the time to be on this radio show, and, I hear the most bizarre things, and I don't believe them just because they say it on a radio show. Should we believe something that we see on a YouTube video?
Trust me, I understand your part about that. It's just that, you know, like, I mean, originally Dr. Fauci was saying, oh, we don't have to worry, it's not that bad. Now, for a gentleman with his extensive experience, you would think he would be more concerned about it instead of lulling people into a false sense of security. And, you know, considering the fact that Florida pretty much just reopened this week and the testing is next to non-existent, I think personally what's going to happen is that you're going to see people who weren't tested, who probably had the virus, and then after a week or 2 weeks of the state being open, people are going to start coming down with it, and then people are going to say, oh, well, they rushed to open it too early, when the people who might be tested positive with it in the next week to 2 weeks, they may have already had it prior to the reopening.
Yeah, that may be true, but that does not correlate with the Mikovits video. Well, so the reason why the Mikovits video is being passed around, and my friends who are conservative are passing it around like it's the greatest thing since Monty Python. I mean, they're passing it, you know, the video around because they really believe it. But there's nothing in the video that gives you any basis on which to believe this woman. Now, you know, she may be telling the truth, I don't know, but her belief is that the crisis has been overblown and that we've got a deep state conspiracy that includes Anthony Fauci. So, you know, I think Fauci would warn you, too, that we don't know everybody who's got the virus, who is carrying it around, because the symptoms don't present for 3 or 4 days, sometimes longer after exposure, and reopening too quickly could cause a rebound of the infection to many more people. So that's not inconsistent with Fauci. The video is made to attack Fauci.
Yeah, but you said you watched it. There were a lot of physicians, or people I am assuming were physicians. They were wearing scrubs. And there was at least a half a dozen different doctors that are saying, you know, if a hospital says you have COVID-19, they get $13,000. If you need a ventilator, they get $39,000. And it's like, as COVID-19 deaths are on the ascension, regular flu, stroke, heart attack, pneumonia deaths all seem to be disappearing.
That's not really true. I mean, John, that's not true either. The flu is there. Heart attacks, strokes are there. The problem is that people are fearful of going to the hospital because of COVID-19. Sean Canan just had a great interview yesterday in which you had a doctor on from Tampa General Hospital who said essentially the hospital might have about 16 cases of COVID-19 at a time, and the rest of the hospital, these patients are isolated, and the rest of the hospital, which is a giant hospital, you can come in if you've got chest pain. You should come in. You shouldn't avoid it, because what happens is that if you delay the chest pain, you're going to die if you delay getting the chest pain treated. So anyway, Mike, thanks for your views. Let's go to Bob in Tampa. Hey, Bob, you're on M&F. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to try to let people know. I had my father had emergency surgery, so I had 12 days ago, so I had to fly two flights, one in a larger plane to Pennsylvania and then to a smaller town in Pennsylvania. And other than getting your ticket at the gate and walking down the ramp to the plane, there was really no social distancing at all. People just basically gave up on it. And on my four flights to Pennsylvania and back, about half the people on the plane weren't wearing masks. People who had masks on took them off during mid-flight. We had one lady that was sneezing repeatedly, and she was with a guy. And she wasn't wearing a mask. The guy wasn't wearing a mask. They weren't covering up when she was sneezing. And then the seats, I had people directly in front of me and behind me without masks. So it's not like there's any social distancing. And even the airline crew, most of the airline, the stewardesses didn't have masks. On the way out, the pilot and the stewardesses were standing at the door saying, thank you for flying American Airlines. They're only like 2 feet away, and neither were wearing masks.
I see that some airlines are going to start requiring everybody to wear a mask, but what airline did you fly on?
American Airlines.
Yeah, and I'll bet the last leg of the trip going up to Pennsylvania was in a tiny, tiny plane that you were all cramped together.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I don't understand people, because there was a pilot taking a flight home sitting behind me in an aisle seat, and he wasn't wearing a mask, and he just started his conversation with a guy he met in the adjacent aisle seat, and they're both talking away like it's no big deal. Neither's wearing a mask. They're both leaning towards each other in the aisle. It was really bizarre to watch.
Yeah, there's a whole school of thought out there, and it's on Fox News. Laura Ingraham's program is the chief one that says, you know, that we shouldn't worry about it. If you're young and healthy, don't worry about it. And then there's another view on Fox News that says that might as well all just get sick, and if you're going to die, you're going to die. And there's some bizarre thinking out there in part of the country.
Yeah, and it was really sad, too, that once the plane landed, I mean, there was no social distancing. Everybody wanted to be the first out of the plane.
Yeah, as usual.
People were packed like sardines, and some people decided to sit and wait, but it was really strange to see and sad.
Yeah, all right. Well, Bob, I hope you're safe. I hope you don't develop the symptoms.
Yeah, I was wearing a mask the whole time, and hopefully I don't get anything.
Did you get any strange looks, Bob, for wearing the mask?
No, and what I really thought was nice was in Pennsylvania, it's mandatory. So I would watch kids go to a little convenience store where my father lived, and right out of their pocket, they'd pull out a mask before they went in, and everybody was wearing them, and everybody adhered to it. It was really nice to see.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Kevin sends in this email. He's been reading the New York Times, I suspect. There was an article, an op-ed this week in the New York Times. He says, Denmark's McDonald's employees started paying $22 per hour with universal medical insurance, 6 weeks paid vacation, 2 years paid maternity leave, and paid sick leave, yet a burger is only pennies more in Denmark than it is here. New York Times article today, writes Kevin. Yeah, that's a story that we covered actually 5 or 6 years ago, when then the labor reporter for the New York Times wrote that article originally, and I see the Times has revived it today. Yeah, they're able to pay fast food workers in Denmark, and the article 5 years ago or 5 or 6 years ago, actually, Kevin, you should look this up, compared a Tampa fast food worker, I believe at a Burger King, to a worker at Denmark. It's a classic article, and you got to look it up. And there is an interview somewhere in the vast M&F archives with the New York Times reporter who wrote that story about 5 or 6 years ago. Kevin, thanks a lot. Let's go back to the phones and take some more phone calls. We're going to go to Ron in Tampa. Ron, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say was, I was a little bit disturbed by the article I read in Common Dreams about William Barr, who is supposedly the voice for, I guess, justice in America. And they seem to be very, very, he seems to be very, very, casual in his defense of dropping the charges against Michael Flynn. One of the quotes that I think he made was that, well, history is written by the winners. Now, I personally happen to know that's true, but the fact that he said it with such smug impunity tells me that we are really on the brink of not a nation of laws, but a nation of men who write laws for their own convenience. And in William Barr's case, I think it's beyond a shadow of a doubt at this point that he is one of Trump's strongest lackeys. He has not made it too vague in implying that he works to defend Trump regardless of the evidence out there. So I think that's something that bears watching a lot. And another thing I wanted to say was, in answer to our good friend Chuck, who called, I think, maybe earlier this week or last week, and he asked a question that I want to answer, because he asked, what are at least two things, can anybody name two things that Joe Biden has done, period? So here's my answer to Chuck, and this is coming from a guy who is not the biggest Biden supporter, okay? There's a lot of things about Joe Biden in his career that I would contend with, but here's what I would say to him, Rob. The Violent Crime Control Law Enforcement Act of 1994, the Violence Against Women Act, also passed in 1994 during Bill Clinton's term, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, and I'll finalize it with this. He has been a strong, consistent supporter of labor unions throughout his career. So those are four things that I was able to find in a few minutes of research time that I had that Joe Biden has supported. So I just respectfully submit that to Chuck for his consideration. How about that?
All right. Ron, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right. Good to you, too. 813-239-9663. David writes this. I've seen a few stories where some black folks are also shooting people because they don't want to follow the lockdown rules. There was the incident at the McDonald's in Oklahoma City with a black woman shooting inside the restaurant, and the security guard shot at a Family Dollar over a mask last week in Michigan. It appears that both of these cases are examples of when keeping it real goes wrong. We all just need to calm down and be courteous to each other, writes David. Scott writes this regarding the coronavirus film. Scott says, and I have not looked this up yet. I will, though. Scott says that Snopes.com fact-checked site completely dismisses the doctor's credibility, writes Scott. Somewhere out there in cyberspace. I will look that up, Scott. Thanks for tipping me off. I did not look at Snopes to check the Judy Miskowitz film. 813-239-9663. Let me go back to the phones we're going to go to Karen in Tampa. Karen, you're on M&F. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's going on?
I know you kind of switched back to a lot of the coronavirus stuff, but I was kind of interested in the thing about the banned books. I'm always interested in those kind of stories. And I was looking at what some of the books were, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, they say it has to do with, sexual stuff or whatever. But so they've got, like, Catch-22, which is kind of an anti-war book. And Tim O'Brien, The Things They Carried, and I haven't read that, but I know it's about Vietnam, and I'm guessing it's probably not real positive. The Great Gatsby is interesting because it's like he kind of spent his life chasing, wealth, and it didn't really make him happy at the end. So, there's always Maya Angelou and Ralph Ellison, so anything that has to do with, black experience or racism. It's interesting the content of those books, and I'm wondering if that's the real reason that they get banned. We don't want to teach our kids to maybe think about, war might be bad, or maybe there's more to life than just, like, tons of money. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, or The Great Gatsby, which is all about being a fraud, being a wealthy fraud.
I think when you look at what those books are really about, there's something more going on there than just, you know, things that they think might be upsetting for children.
Well, school boards around the country, it's happened somewhat in Sarasota. School boards around the country are like the front lines for the culture wars, and especially conservative Christians are trying to get on school boards to try to control what's being done in public schools. So they don't like what's the direction of public schools, so they're trying to control it. Hillsborough County hasn't had a school board dominated by those folks, but Sarasota has some people that are really outspoken trying to steer that district in a certain direction.
Yeah, in the direction of not teaching kids to think for themselves, because Christianity depends on you not thinking for yourself, just blindly following nonsense they tell you.
I think it all depends on the brand of Christianity. There is a brand of Christianity. I noticed, too, that the Catholic Church now is more and more aligning itself with the Republican Party. There are free thinking Christians out there that are not in lockstep with the kind of conservative direction of the establishment in this country. And then there's other Christians that are in lockstep. Yeah. All right, Karen. Karen,
all right.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
All right.
All right. It's always good to talk about books, isn't it? 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to Mike in Tampa. Mike, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I just don't see any reason why Carol Lee would lie about Joe Biden sexually assaulting her. There's a double standard within the Democratic Party and within the Biden camp and within the people who want to be Biden's enemy, that they're all believable and that sexual assault is all believable when it's being made against the Republican, when it's being made against Clarence Thomas or Brett Kavanaugh. But when it comes to Biden, you know, they take the other line. And I just think it's very hypocritical.
All right, Mike, thanks. Who are you going to vote for in November?
I'm going to vote for third party.
Third party. Okay. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Chuck in Tampa. Hey, Chuck, you're on MNF. You were called out earlier. I'll give you a chance. What's up?
Hold on. I got to shut my monster truck off. Hold on. Is that better?
You have big wheels on that?
I got a big rope ladder I climb up in it with it.
How many miles of the gallon you get on that?
Oh man, it's terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. What's up?
I want to know how long is it going to take the rest of a lot of dumb people in this country to figure out that Russia hoax was nothing but a hoax? Do you think? I mean, these are things I've known for 3 years that Michael Flynn got set up. Now we're starting to find these things out. And
now, what part of it was a hoax? What part of it was a hoax?
Well, the whole report, because before they started the Mueller report, they just released the papers. There was no evidence of collusion. That was James Clapper and Andrew McCabe. I read it right in the report.
So do you think that the Russians, let me just ask you, do you think that the Russians used social media as a way to try to influence the 2016 election?
I don't care. I'm talking about Donald Trump colluded with Russia. You remember that story? Donald Trump, not did the Russians, some hacker.
Now, are we talking about the guy who shouted out, Russia, if you're listening, release the Democratic emails? Are we talking about that Donald Trump?
Zero evidence that he colluded with Russia. Zero.
Okay. All right.
Not a
Chuck. I don't have the papers in front of me. I haven't read. I know the new papers were released today, and I haven't read them. So you.
Well, there were papers released last night, yesterday. Did you read those? Some of them.
I got to admit, I haven't.
Well, I'll tell you what. James Clapper said when they interviewed him, this is all coming out. He saw no evidence whatsoever of Trump or anybody in his campaign that had anything to do with Russia. Also, Andrew McCabe said that dossier was totally unverified, that none of that dossier was verified.
So. All right. Well, I will read the papers. And Chuck, thanks a lot.
It was a hoax.
Okay, we hear you. You don't have to scream. It was a hoax. Chuck, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. And let's go to Danny in Tampa. Hey, Danny, you're on MNF. What's up?
Hey, Rob. First of all, I want to say, Chuck, hey, man, now it's still time to go back to Mike Gallagher. He's still on until about 12, so, you know, I know you probably but that's good that you take an interruption from his show and call Rob. That's fantastic. And as for Mike, the third party, you're going to vote third party. Mike, I think Roseanne Barr is probably still available, too. You know, maybe if you can see if you can get her to run again after she gets off her therapy for alcoholism and, you know, jump and see what happens, and everything else. Rob, Donald Trump is ready to go ahead. Right now, he is not even, last night, John Helderman was saying that this morning on Morning Joe, he couldn't, right now, he is so past this coronavirus thing right now, he feels like it's mission accomplished. He's got his, he won't wear his mask because it makes him look weak. So therefore, he is ready to sacrifice 300 deaths a day. Reportedly coming up, right, and he wants people to risk their lives to go and patronize these businesses, go out there and risk their lives, so he thinks he can bring back the economy, and that's a big question mark, to before November, and to risk their lives so he can get elected. That is, and by the way, he thinks testing sometimes is overrated. He gets tested every day. Him and Mike Pence get tested every day. We don't. We can't even get tested.
And apparently the president was really upset that his valet, the guy that brings him dinner, came down with COVID-19. If it's not a big deal, why was he so upset?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was upset because he even said, well, you know, you guys don't protect me. I thought you protect me better, you know? Well, let me leave you with this. Donald Trump is anti-Jimi Hendrix, anti-cream, anti-Rolling Stones.
How do you know this?
Because I know this.
Wait. Danny, let me just say, I've been to 4 Trump rallies. Mm-hmm. Before every rally, he plays the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and he plays the, you know, Street Fighting Man and Revolution and all those songs that I think anti-war people, liberal left people, progressives, all those people cheered in the 1960s and 1970s. Trump has taken those songs and used them as his own, as a way, I think, to convince the people in the crowd on the edge, hey, I'm some sort of revolutionary or whatever he's trying to paint. But he always plays those bands.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, but in his heart, in my opinion.
No, he doesn't play Hendrix or Cream, I got to say that.
Or Zeppelin. He is anti, also, let me do this. I told you before, he's the antithesis of Woodstock, in my opinion, and he is anti the most important thing, anti-groovy.
All right. Well, and do you think that, what does that count for, Danny?
Well, it counts a lot for me. He's all right. A complete right square.
All right, Danny, I'm going to play the new Bob Dylan song at the end of the show.
I'm ready for it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go back to the phones. I'm going to try to read some more emails in just a second. A lot of emails have come in. We're going to go to John in Port Richey. John, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. Several things. Going back to, remember when Bill Clinton met with the Attorney General on the tarmac and spent about 30 minutes in the plane?
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Remember how all the conservatives were screaming that there was some sort of conspiracy, some sort of collusion?
Right.
Something underhandedly going in there.
Yeah.
Go back to the head of the IRS meeting with the Obama administration during the Affordable Care Act discussion on working out all the nuts and bolts in that. Then there was all kinds of conspiracy about how the Democrats and the liberals were sort of coming up with some sort of conspiracy to come down on the tax-exempt organizations that were conservative versus the liberals. Remember that?
Yeah, I there was a big outcry, yes.
Right, big outcry on that, you know. But Trump meets with an attorney from the Russians to discuss information that they have on Hillary Clinton to use in the election. It's okay. There's nothing wrong there. Let's go back to Rick Bright. boy, it's amazing that that whistleblower's name is out there. He came out and did a press release. Wow, that's amazing that that whistleblower's name's out there. Big conspiracy on who comes out with the names and who doesn't. Little research shows that he outed himself. I lost my train of thought there. But it just amazes me how, when it comes to Trump, all this information that points that he did, in fact, elicit Russian help. Now, whether or not there was, it's hard to prove a conspiracy unless somebody breaks. So it's going to be hard to prove that. But there's a lot of circumstantial evidence there that's more than those other two cases with the IRS and Clinton. And the final thing I was thinking about, Hannity's going on again about the Hillary Clinton emails. Barr, who said he was going to prosecute her for that before he got appointed, hasn't done a thing. Why? Oh, he's investigating it. That's what he said. Now, there's nothing going to go on there. There's no criminal. There's going to be no criminal charges. And going to Biden, too. Oh, why aren't they investigating him and bringing charges there? Oh, they're investigating it. That's what they said. But no charges are going to come out of there. So there's going to be no investigation to prove that both of those were non-criminal activities. But the conservatives aren't going to believe it.
All right, John, thanks. Thanks for making those points. Yeah, there was a big outcry when President Clinton met on the tarmac with the attorney general, and there was a lot of complaining that the Clintons were putting pressure on the then attorney general under President Obama. This president has a very close relationship with William Barr, and William Barr believes in the idea of unitary power, the supremacy of power of the president over all three branches of government. And that's the kind of person, I mean, if you want that kind of government, then you're happy about President Trump and his relationship with Barr. If you think that there should be more division of power between the three branches and that they're co-equal, then you might be a little bit upset at the attack that William Barr is taking. Karen in Dunedin says, I've seen the video. We're talking about the video of the doctor who thinks that Anthony Fauci's part of a conspiracy. Karen says, I've seen the video through my conservative family and friends as well. I Googled it to see if there was a source I trust discussing it, and I could not find any, writes Karen in Dunedin. Yeah, at least the version of the video that I saw had no credits on it, so I wasn't quite sure where it came from. 813-239-9663. Thanks to Jane in St. Petersburg for her donation. She donated online. Thank you, Jane, for making a $20 a month contribution to WMNF. You can make your contribution online. Go to WMNF.org. And thank you, Jane. Ernie writes this, my wife has worked in the same office for more than 20 years, a dental office. She was furloughed April 1st and deemed ineligible, no reason given. She reapplied for unemployment, still pending. I would like to hear from Governor DeSantis, my governor, and Rick Scott, my U.S. senator, as to why, writes Ernie, who's out there. Ernie, that's a good question. And a lot of people are in that boat, too. Where they've been denied their unemployment benefits and they can't get a word from the government. The government is not telling them why. Many, many, many people are in that position. Let's go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, you're on. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank your volunteer staff for what they're doing during this pandemic. And I'd like to thank you for being the voice of reason for just like for what you just said about the executive power, how Trump is trying to gain so much power by using the edge to do with the attorney general and through the court system. Like, you know, probably he goes to sleep every night hoping that Ginsburg will pass away so he can appoint another judge. And,
I think probably Mitch McConnell will try to make that happen, too, if Justice Ginsburg passes away. that there was the rule last time when Obama tried to appoint a judge in an election year, and McConnell said you can't appoint a judge to the Supreme Court in an election year. But I'm sure that if Justice Ginsburg passes away, and let's hope that she doesn't, let's hope that none of the justices pass away, I think McConnell will try to push it through.
Yeah, it's very sad the way the branches of our government are failing us. Our senators and our representatives are failing us. Senator Scott has failed us. It's just perfect examples of during times of crisis, we need leaders. We need people to step forward. We need people to help us. I'd like to make one little comment to Chuck. Chuck, there was, evidence of those hackings into our emails. There's evidence there. The Russians did it, and the Russians have been our enemy since before the end of World War II. So maybe you need to get on board with that. You could call it a Cold War. Okay, I was in the military back in the 80s when the wall was up. Okay, and we're still at that Cold War. We're still at war with Russia. It could be a hacking war. It could be a spy war. It could be behind-the-scenes war. But believe me, they're still our enemy. So
yeah, Richard, I don't think Russia's our enemy. I think Russia's a kleptocracy. It's a place where capitalism has gone amok, and you've got a bunch of rich people who've taken over a lot of the best of that society, and they now own it. And Putin is defending those rich people from any sort of democratic control over society. So we've been enemies for a long time, but I got to say that if Russia was not around helping us fight the Nazis in World War II, we wouldn't be celebrating VE Day today. Today is a big day in world history. And the Russian front was much more dangerous than anything the Allies had to do over on the west side of France. And that's not to take away from the heroism, because my dad was part of D-Day, but that's not to take away the heroism of the American soldiers or the British soldiers or the Allies. But if it wasn't for Russians, the Nazis would have won, because most of the important battles took place between Russia and Germany in World War II. We got to thank the Russians for that. And they were not our enemies at that point.
Well, I agree. The Battle of Stalingrad was a key turning point, and I'm a history buff, and I am Russian. I have Russian in my blood, and I wasn't just trying to bash the Russians, but, they were guilty of what they did. So, whatever the representation of government it is, I agree with you. The oligarchies of this world are taking over, and we need to somehow eliminate them. But that's going to be a tough task, and I guess we can't really speak about that on the radio. But being said, thank you for your
enlightenment. Well, speaking about eliminating oligarchies is a good focus for MNF discussion. Richard, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, the power of the rich is something that MNF was designed to discuss. Thomas in Clearwater made a donation. Thomas, thank you for going online. That's great. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and this is open phones today. We're going to go to, let's go to Ian in Tarpon Springs. Ian, thanks for calling in. What's up? Hi, Ian. Ian? Ian in Tarpon Springs. Anybody in Tarpon Springs.
Oh, hello.
All right, what's your name?
Ivan.
Okay, Ivan, what's up?
That was close. That was about the gentleman that called a little while ago raving on about the hoax and everything. I guess he doesn't understand that Trump's using his presidential power to stop people from testifying. It's kind of like a bad guy going to court and saying that I don't want any evidence, any DNA, any documentation, and he walks away free for a murder. Using the powers that he has, there's no way to get in to the investigation to where we get the actual results.
Yeah, and if Flynn has already admitted that he lied, and we have President Trump saying that he lied, we have Mike Pence on video saying that he lied, it was a crime at the time to lie to the FBI the way that Flynn did. How do you retract it? We've even got
a
president.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. But, to be in the position where Trump is, to where he's using his powers to stop people from talking, locking them down, that's you know, this guy had a daughter that was murdered by, you know, not saying, you know, it's just using a situation. And he went to court, and the murderer said, I don't want any evidence or documentation presented. He gets to walk free.
And, you know, back in the day, we used to call the Nixon administration a criminal administration. And if what Barr is doing is allowing a criminal to walk free, we could also attribute that label to the Trump administration, because now they're protecting criminals.
Yes, basically. Yeah. I mean, here he's throwing a captain off of a boat for looking after his troops, and then he frees these Green Berets. I'm sorry, I don't recall, actually, but the guys that killed that 16-year-old boy, cut his throat and such, you know?
Yeah, and so the guy in San Diego. All right.
War criminals.
Ivan, thanks a lot. Thank you for your comments.
Great show. Great.
All right, thanks for saying that. A lot of people have done the work for me. I have not fact-checked this Dr. Judy Mikovits video that's, I think, called Plandemic. But Charles and Erica have sent in fact checks. Erica's fact check is from Pointer. I'm going to have to really look that one up. So thank you very much, Charles and Erica, for sending the fact checks in. And I will go deeper into it. Thank you very much for sending it. Tom writes this regarding the Postmaster General. I think it's kind of creepy that a Trump crony with no post office experience will be taking over as the Postmaster General, especially with the mail-in ballots in the 2020 elections. Will there be oversight on this, writes Tom. Tom, I don't know. And then Tom says, I just finished watching the Philip Roth adaptation of Plot Against America, and there was a scene at the end where Lindbergh fans are burning FDR ballots. Quite prophetic, writes Tom. Tom, thank you for that. And let's go back to the phones. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to John in Tampa. Hey, John, you're on MNF. What's up?
Hi, Rob. Just some on-the-ground report why testing is important. I think a lot of people don't get it. I certainly didn't. I do now. We have a small business. We have 110 customers requiring us to go into their homes for 2 hours a month. And one of our guys, we had four guys, not anymore. We have four guys. Everybody's healthy, thank God. But we have four guys who, one of them got sick, and he ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks with the virus. And, of course, immediately all of us involved with this small company locally here wanted to get tested. We thought, boy, that'd be a smart thing to do. We investigated, and, of course, you can't get a test unless you're on death's door. You have to be sick before you can get a test. Now, I find it very ironic that the one thing that can help open up this country again, and we all want that.
But, John, I think that's changed. I think now in Hillsborough County you can get tested, even if you don't have symptoms.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I would call that number. Call the health department. I think you can get tested.
I will. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks a lot.
Until we have tests piled up on the Walgreens and CVS shelves, we're not going to be able to open up intelligently. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we've got to know the extent of the disease. I think that's the smart way to look at it. Deborah in Spring Hill says, I've met Joe Biden and had conversations with him and his Secret Service men who love him. He's a kind, warm, gentle man who oozes compassion and empathy. As a woman who has been sexually assaulted, it's inconceivable that he would assault a woman, as it's completely out of character. Having said that, I think it's important that Tara Reid be investigated thoroughly, but sometimes mentally unstable people do things for attention, which is a possibility, writes Deborah. Deborah, thank you for that. And let's go back to the phones here on WMNF. Oh, you know what? I was going to play a Bob Dylan song. Let me see if I can squeeze it in here. Bob Dylan, who has been around forever, has a new album coming out, first one in 8 years. And the album is called Rough and Rowdy Ways. We're going to hear a song here in the last few seconds of the show. This is the brand new Bob Dylan song called False Prophet. Hey, thanks for listening. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. This is WMNF Tampa.
I open my heart to the world, and the world can be. Hello, Mary Lou. fleet-footed guides from the underworld. No stars in the sky shine brighter than you. You girls mean business, and I do too. Well, I'm the enemy of treason, an enemy of strife. I'm the enemy of the unlived, meaningless life. I ain't no false prophet, I just know what I know.